Well, friends, I welcome you here this morning, and the message that I have entitled that we'll be focused on from Acts 20 is called a 2026 tagline for all Christians. A 2026 tagline for all Christians, and you know, business and marketing professionals put an enormous amount of thought and energy into taglines and slogans, catchy, memorable phrases that both define their brand and describe their company. So we're going to play a little game, and I'm going to test your knowledge of taglines and slogans, all right? Are you ready for this? So I'll call out a tagline, and then you call out when you think you know what the company is that created that tagline. All right, so here we go. First of all, first tagline, the happiest place on earth. Disneyland. Okay, all right. You get the idea here. Disneyland, very good. Disneyland must have done a good job on that one. How about this one? Finger licking good. Okay, all right. KFC, some of you call it, or Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yes, very good. For those senior members in our group, how about this one? Some of us haven't heard this for a while, but the Breakfast of Champions. Wheaties, all right, Wheaties, and the youngins are going, I got no clue on that one. I know, I asked my kids, they're like, Dad, no chance on that one. How about this one? They'll get this one. Three short words, just do it. Nike, yep, that's a good one. They've done a good job with their branding. Well, the Evangelical Free Church, of which Olympic Evangelical Free Church is a part, our denomination has recently rolled out a new tagline, a slogan. Our acting president, Carlton Harris, shared this: biblical and missional, united and free. In fact, if you go on the Evangelical Free Church website, this is the first homepage that pops up there: biblical and missional, united and free. In Harris's words, free church people are biblical and missional. They are tethered to the text, and they are committed to their calling. Tethered to the text, committed to their calling. Biblical, being grounded in God's word, and missional, unwavering in our calling, at fulfilling the calling that God has given to us. Well, that not only describes the Evangelical Free Church of America, but it should describe every church and every one of us believers in our lives. So as we welcome in this new year, 2026, this serves as an excellent subject for us to focus on for our consideration this morning. So I invite you, because we don't want to get ahead of God's word, so I invite you to please take your Bible out. And if you don't have a Bible, in the chair in front of you, you can find a Bible there. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 20, getting into God's word this morning. Acts chapter 20, and I'll read for us from verses 17 through 27. Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 27, and you can see it on the screen also behind me. Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 17. Now from Miletus, he, that's Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials, and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22, "And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Let's pray together one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bow before you, acknowledging the truth, the power, the authority of you speaking through your word, and we need to hear your message for us this day. Lord, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive your message. Send your Spirit and captivate us as we encounter your truth this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, before we get into our verse-by-verse exposition of this text, which I believe is what Pastor Mark does each Sunday for you, before we get into the text, actually, we want to... Acts 20 is sort of right in the middle of a longer section where we see the Apostle Paul on his third and final mission trip. We see that in Acts 18 all the way through Acts 21. He, in a short time, will be taken into custody in Jerusalem. He then will be shipped off to Rome, where he will eventually be executed. Paul had spent 3 years ministering in this city of Ephesus. We know that because in Acts 20, verse 31, it describes this. Ephesus was a large cosmopolitan hub, a port city teeming with new ideas and also with many spiritual perversions. Maybe not unlike our own times, our own culture here in the Pacific Northwest. Well, following a riot that happens, Paul clears out of town, out of Ephesus. He's visiting several places, and then, but he's longing to reconnect one last time to see his beloved Ephesian elders. And so he orchestrates, coordinates this meeting in nearby Miletus that we see in verse 17 of our passage. And as we go through our passage, I'd encourage you, you could take out the sheet that's in your bulletin and have a pen handy and jot down some notes as we go through this section of Scripture, some notes by way of application that will be helpful for you. But the main point this morning as we look at Paul's example is that we must serve the Lord biblically and missionally. You can write that down at the very top of that sheet if you want. Serve the Lord. Friends, we need to serve the Lord biblically and missionally. You can hear those biblical missional words that are also part of the Evangelical Free Church tagline. So let's move through our passage, and you'll see on your outline there, we look first at Paul's mission, manner, and message. Paul's mission, manner, and message. Starting in verse 18, Paul says, You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia. Paul's lifestyle was well known. It was consistent. He did not hide the mission that he was on. It was clear to everyone that met him, that encountered him, that listened to him for any length of time. And so what was that lifestyle? What was that mission? Well, you see in verse 19, he says, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord with all humility, he says, and with tears, and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. Paul's mission was to serve God. You think about Philippians 1, where he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. His life was all about Jesus Christ, living with Christ, serving God. That's what his mission was all about. And the next phrases in verse 19 describe the manner with which he served God. He says here, he served with all humility. You see that in verse 19? With all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. The idea here is he served with a humble sincerity. He served with a tender empathy. He cared about the people that he was working among. Even despite the trials and struggles, the opposition from his fellow countrymen, the Jews. So what was the message that he communicated? What was the message? Well, it's right there in verses 20 and 21. You see that it says, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything, he says, that was profitable, teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was unwavering in his commitment to serve the Lord by proclaiming the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, if we unpack those verses a little bit, we see that he was comprehensive in his teaching. He did not shy away from, shrink back from declaring anything that was profitable. He spoke all that was profitable, and he was also comprehensive in his audience. It says that he spoke to both Jews and to Greeks, Jews and Gentiles. That wraps up just about everyone, okay? He was utilizing diverse settings in what he was communicating. So it says he was communicating in public. He would go out and gather groups of people and teach them, but also in house-to-house small discipleship groups, we can think of it. Maybe you have house groups here, discipleship groups, and he would gather small groups together, and he would also teach them in these sorts of ways, diverse settings, but there was one message, one singular message that he always came back to. It's right there in our text, repentance from sin, repentance toward God, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. This was his one message that he continually was communicating. Repentance from sin and faith in Jesus Christ. It's the same message, friends, that Jesus preached throughout his ministry. Remember all the way back in Mark chapter 1, where Jesus, Mark records, began to preach at the beginning of his ministry about repentance and faith. For the kingdom of God has come near to you, Jesus said. It's the same biblical gospel message that we desperately need today. It's the singular message that not only we need, but that the world needs. people from every tongue and tribe and nation. And when we share that message with a humble sincerity, friends, there is power. Power in the message. There is hope in the gospel message of God, in the God that we serve. Remember that our biblical and missional service, friends, they are all about God and people, not about us. It's not about us being liked by people, our popularity, what people are going to tolerate from us. It's all about our service to God, just like the Apostle Paul. So we see his mission, manner, and message that we can replicate in our lives. But then secondly, we also see how he held loosely to certain things and held tightly onto other things. We see in verses 22 through 23, and actually in verse 24 also, Paul dips into a small explanation of the future hardships that he knows are coming his way. In fact, the Holy Spirit in verse 22 continually testifies, constrains him. It says in verse 22, "And now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, compelled by the Spirit, without diversion, without delay." The Spirit constrains and moves him along. He says, "Not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me." The Holy Spirit is moving Paul along toward Jerusalem, warning him again and again, imprisonment and afflictions are coming in your future, Paul. In fact, just in the next chapter, in chapter 21 of Acts, we see that a prophet, Agabus, comes, takes Paul's belt from around his waist and ties his own hands, his own feet, and says, "Paul, the same thing is going to happen to you when you get to Jerusalem." Now, we might be feeling a wide variety of emotions. We might respond in different ways to this this challenge that is standing before Paul, But look in verse 24. I want you to see in the ESV, it's important we note the first word of verse 24 is a contrast word. He says, but rather than being discouraged or fearful or maybe procrastinating, I know the Spirit wants me to go to Jerusalem, but maybe I'll take the scenic route. You know, I'm going to wander around for a little while because I really don't want to experience what's in store for me. No. That's not Paul's emotion. That's not his response as the Spirit is moving him along. But, verse 24, listen to this. But he says, "I do not hold account my life of any value nor as precious to myself." Do you see that? This is what he's holding to loosely. You know, as you and I think about it, the various things that we hold to, that we tend to hold to fairly tightly in our life, probably our life is one of those things that we hang on to. We want to keep living, right? Are you with me? Yes, amen. That's okay. You could say amen. Okay. Yeah, but Paul says, no. No, he says, "I'm not holding my life of any value. I'm not accounting my life of any value as precious to myself." He holds loosely to everything in this life. So then we ask, okay, Paul, to what are you holding tightly? What are you hanging on to so tightly? And look at verse 24. He says, "If only I may finish my course and the ministry that are received from the Lord Jesus. I must fulfill my ministry, fulfill my calling. Specifically, he says, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Specifically, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. This is what Paul would not let go of. This is what he held so tightly. My friends, it's a great message for us that that we must hold loosely various things in this life and tightly to very few things, like the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it's what Paul tells Timothy in some of the final words that he writes to his beloved apprentice Timothy. He says in chapter 4, verse 5 of 2 Timothy, he says that despite all the opposition, all the obstacles that you're going to have, he says, Timothy, fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your calling. And he goes right into, pointing to his own example, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I've kept the faith. Paul says, I was faithful to fulfill my ministry. Timothy, you be faithful to fulfill your ministry. People of Olympic Evangelical Free Church, be faithful to fulfill the calling that God has put on your life, serving the Lord biblically and missionally. So we can ask ourselves, what are the non-negotiables in our life? Things to which we hold most tightly, being biblical and missional, means that we hold loosely and tightly to the right things. Even when the struggles come, we stay on course. We finish the course. We fulfill our ministry. So we see his mission, manner, and message. We see Paul holding loosely and tightly to the right things. And then finally, in verses 25 to 27, the word warns against wolves. The word warns against wolves. Look at Paul's words in verse 25. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I've been gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. He knows that he's on his final lap, that the end is approaching, and he won't see these beloved Ephesian elders again. And so in verse 26, he says, therefore, because he's gone about, verse 25, proclaiming the kingdom, therefore, he makes this statement in verse 26, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. I am innocent of the blood of all. What is he talking about here? Innocent of the blood of all? Well, what he's saying is that those who believe the message that I preached, well, they are saved. They come into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through the broken body and shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The forgiveness that Christ offers us through his death and his resurrection, they are saved. But those who do not believe, well, we use the term, their blood is on their own heads. Their blood is on their own heads. The idea here is actually, we can go back to Ezekiel 33. God comes to Ezekiel, gives him this message, and tells him that you must position watchmen on the walls of the cities throughout Israel. And these watchmen have one job. When they see enemy armies approaching, what are they to do? They're to call out a warning for the people in the city, in the village. They call out a warning. And when the people heed that warning, they are protected. They seek shelter, and they are saved. If they do not heed that warning, then they are killed. But if the watchman does not call out the warning, the blood of the people of that village, it's on his head. He is held responsible for their blood. Are you with me here? So the point is that Paul went about proclaiming the kingdom. It says in verse 25 there, he went about communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gave warning to people. And what was that warning? What was that message that he communicated again? Well, we saw it in verses 20 and 21. And now in verse 27, that biblical missional message is clarified in verse 27. For, he says, linking together, I'm innocent of the blood. For, he says, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. This idea of shrink is actually mentioned in verse 20 as well as verse 27. The idea is to avoid certain things, to draw back, to maybe, I'm going to soften the message. Oh, that element might be a little bit unpopular, so I'm going to dodge those unpopular subjects. Paul says, no. I did not shrink from declaring the whole counsel of God. He says, he preached God's entire redemptive plan. The whole message of the gospel as recorded in the whole Word of God. The Old Testament and what would become the New Testament. He was biblical and missional. And friends, God's word today equips us likewise to fulfill the mission that God has called us to, serving the Lord biblically and missionally. We don't have time to explore it at length, but in the subsequent chapter or verses 28 through the end of Paul's message in verse 35, he goes on to offer a warning to the Ephesian elders and to the people of God, to us today. He says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. Leaders at Olympic Evangelical Free Church, pay attention to yourself, to your own lifestyle. People of God, pay attention to how you live, because it won't matter what you say if your lifestyle communicates a different message. Pay attention to yourselves and to the people of God. He says, the reason is because, verse 29, fierce wolves are coming. Fierce wolves, friends. Fierce wolves have arrived. And he says in verse 30, who are these fierce wolves? Men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Are there twisted things that are spoken in the name of Jesus today? Oh, I see you nodding. Yeah. Twisted things. The people that take portions of Scripture and twist it to say what they want to say. To say crazy messages. I've got pages and pages as I travel to Africa and hear of the twisted messages from people that are misusing, that are abusing God's word. Fierce wolves are coming. Therefore, he says, verse 31, be alert. Work hard, he says, verses 33 to 35, and help the weak, embracing Paul's unceasing refrain, his charge Serve the Lord biblically and missionally. Is it in your mind? Serve the Lord biblically and missionally. So my friends, I'd like to end with a few final examples and some application on what this is going to look like in our lives. Serving God biblically and missionally. In fact, if we unpack this a little bit, if you just work through Paul's message that we see there, thinking first about the biblical element, his mission, seven times in our few verses that we're looking at, seven times in our passage, we see how Paul lived and he taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. Seven times. If something's repeated many times in the Bible, you know it's important, okay? Listen to this. He taught all that was profitable, teaching in all places, testifying to all people the message of repentance and faith, the gospel of the grace of God, proclaiming the kingdom of God, declaring the whole counsel of God, commending the word of God's grace. Over and over, Paul says he was devoted to the ministry of the word in his teaching and in his life. He fulfilled the mission of God, the biblical mission in service to God. Well, it wasn't only Paul, friends, because we can't go very far without mentioning Jesus. Jesus was also preeminently biblical and missional in his service to God. Remember, he says in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but I have come to what? To fulfill them. To fulfill them. Yeah. He says that over and over he preached the word, he lived the word, he fulfilled the word. In fact, in Luke 4, one of the first messages that Jesus, we have recorded that Jesus gave, he gave in his own hometown. Okay? He gathered together with others in the synagogue, and they asked him to speak. And so he asked for the scroll from Isaiah. He unrolls it. He knows where he's going. Isaiah 61. And listen to these words. You can see it up here. From Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said. Jesus read from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And everyone was silent. Every eye was riveted upon Jesus. What is he going to say? And then he declares, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That was shocking, breathtaking to all those Jews there that day. And everything that Jesus was talking about, well, it was all about his mission, his biblical mission in service to God. Over and over, Jesus throughout his ministry declared his mission. You remember the passages, the Son of God came to seek and to save the lost, Luke 19 says. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a what? A ransom for many, Mark 10. He repeatedly foretold his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. He knew where he was going. And in John 17, he prays to the Father these words. One of his final prayers. I glorified you, Father, on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. He is so missional, so on target. He's not gone to the cross yet. It's before the cross. And he says, it's already accomplished. The work is finished. Nothing is going to distract him. Nothing will delay him from fulfilling that calling. He held tightly and would not be deterred from fulfilling the mission to which God had called him, even that mission of surrendering his own life for us. He says, in fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." He served God biblically and missionally. And friends, so with us, God calls us to be people of the book. The Bible guides what we believe and how we are to live. We must know it, believe it, live it, and share it. In fact, the beginning of 2026 here is a great time to make sure that you are getting into God's Word every day. Like food for your physical body, God's Word nourishes your soul. If you're not sure what to read, I'm sure Pastor Mark would love to guide you. The elders here would love to help you with reading plans that would help you to get daily nourishment from God's Word as people of the book. But let's get a little bit more specific, because part of being biblical, well, it's that our perspective, our values, our worldview are biblical. They're transformed, like Paul says in Romans 12, by the renewing of our minds. So you think about our secular age. Here we are in the PNW, and our biblical lifestyle that God calls us to is going to become increasingly divergent from a worldly lifestyle. Think in terms of your screen time. Think in terms of the words that come out of your mouth. Think in terms of your leisure activities, your spending patterns, your witness to others, your relationships with other people. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 2. We are to be, he says, blameless and innocent. Listen to this contrast. Blameless and innocent. Children of God without blemish. In what? In the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast. How do we shine as lights? We hold fast to the word of life. That's our calling, friends. We are to be biblical in our service to God, walking with him. Jesus, in fact, prays for his followers, that same prayer in John 17. He says that they, his disciples, and we, his followers, are to be in the world, but not what? Of the world. That's right, not of the world. And how can we do this? He says in verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word, he says, is truth. We must be people of the book, going deep into God's word every day, living it out throughout our lives. And just like Paul, just like Jesus, we are to be biblical and missional. And missional. Serving the Lord, as Paul says, with a humble sincerity despite difficulties, no distraction, no diversion, no delay. We are to know Christ. We are to love Christ. We are to walk with Christ. And we are to help others to know, love, and walk with Christ. My friends, probably I'm guessing that most of what I've said so far, I haven't seen anyone fall out of their chairs. It's not completely unforeseen. We know these truths. But I want to get just a bit specific for you this morning. And beyond these general callings that God gives us through His Word, I want you to think for a few minutes about your specific mission, your specific calling by God, flowing from the unique way that God has equipped you, how He has shaped you with your abilities and interests, your spiritual gifts, your passions, the things that get you up in the morning, your personality, the experiences that He's brought you through. How has God wired you uniquely to serve Him biblically and missionally? Friends, we can ask ourselves how we're doing at that. First of all, we need to know what our calling is, and then how are we doing at fulfilling it? None of us are perfect. We're all on a journey serving God biblically and missionally. And I want to share with you a couple of very flawed examples, not because they're any better than anyone else, but because I happen to know my wife and me fairly well. And so I want you to, as I share about our mission, specific mission before God, I want you to think about what is your mission and write down on your sheet in the bulletin, what is your specific mission? Don't make it hugely long because you'll never remember it. Just in some short, simple phrases, what is your mission? How has God wired you? I want you to think about this. As you hear, for me, my specific mission before God, how God has wired and equipped me, is to equip ministry leaders globally. Yeah, I'm the guy that goes to Africa every month, okay? All over the world to study, to understand, to live, and to teach God's Word. But not only for those that I teach, but also to equip them so that they can train others who can train others. It's how God's wired me. It started with my family. Now my kids are grown. They've wandered away. They're continuing their mission before God. But I also train stateside pastors. Mark's been through some of our trainings that we hold in the Pacific Northwest, different parts of America. But also there's the African pastors. I'll be there in just less than 2 weeks, working again with church planters in Tanzania. And then my newest target is working among those who go and minister among unreached people groups, equipping them with how to handle God's Word well, how to bring God's Word to unreached people groups all around the world. Holly's mission is to glorify God by serving, she says, my family, the body of Christ, and the nations through the power of prayer. And if you know anything about Holly, she is all about praying. In fact, after the service, she would love to pray with you. If you would like prayer, talk with one of the elders, talk with the pastor, or talk with my wife, and she would love to pray with you and for you. Friends, these are some examples. You don't need to be a full-time missionary or minister of the gospel to have a mission statement. Every one of us here should have a statement that you say, for 2026 and beyond, this is who I am in Jesus Christ and what God has called me to do. All right. So as you consider how you've been shaped, what your specific mission is, you can ask the question then, how are you doing at fulfilling that calling? And give it some thought as we move into this new year. In fact, after the service, friends, when we finish and you're talking with each other, it's a great question to ask each other. What do you think your mission is before? What is your specific mission? And you'll take your relationship much deeper than if you just, oh, what'd you do for the New Year's celebration? Yeah, ask each other, talk about this with each other, spurring each other on to love and good deeds. brothers and sisters, we have been called by God to serve the Lord biblically and missionally. And we need to do this with a humble sincerity that Paul demonstrates, even through trials, holding loosely onto the things of this life and tightly onto that glorious gospel of God's grace, all the way until we fulfill our calling and Christ calls us home. May we never, ever shrink from declaring, from living, from proclaiming the whole counsel of God as we guard ourselves and God's people from the predators, those men speaking twisted things, the people that would undo us. And as we live out these biblical missional truths, God will move. He will move us toward that glorious inheritance that He has awaiting for all His children, which is exactly how Paul ends our passage. In verse 32, he says, "And now, people of Olympic Evangelical Free Church, brothers and sisters, and now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." That's our promise. That's the inheritance that is ours as we serve God biblically and missionally. Will you pray with me?